Well, tonight we're going to be in three passages of Scripture. Our main passage tonight is going to be Psalm 51. And if you know anything about Psalm 51, you can figure out why we're going to be there with what we're studying in 2 Samuel 12. We will go to 2 Samuel 12 in a little bit and read six verses to support what we're saying. And then we'll also be in Psalm 32. For a couple of verses. But Psalm 51 is our main passage this evening. You know, a saved person can never be lost. All praise be the name of Jesus, man. The Lord keeps us. Those that are saved, He's able to keep us. And He's given us His promise on that, and we have His word on it. Thank God for that. And I'm glad that we never have to worry about our eternal security, because the Lord has made it clear enough for a child to understand. We just recently spent a number of messages on Sunday evenings taking a look at that very thing. But we know that, praise the Lord, once we're truly born again, we're kept by the power of God. And because we believe that, some people think that we have a license to sin. We do not. We don't think that, and we know that we don't have a license to sin. But the grace of God is not a license for us to live any way we want to please. But just because a Christian can't lose his salvation by sinning, that doesn't mean that a Christian has nothing to lose. And you're not going to lose your salvation. But we're going to look tonight at how sin affects a believer. If a Christian sins, he always suffers consequences for the sin. A child of God may sin, but no child of God can sin without consequence. And I've said this before, and I'll say it many times again. You can choose to sin, but you can't choose the consequences. The consequences may be different for you than it is for me for the same sin. God's the one that chooses the consequences for us. And I want you to consider with me this evening what sin does in the life of a believer. Let's read Psalm 51. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar." Now we see the occasion of the writing of this psalm is spoken of there. If your Bible has what mine has, it's at the very top of the psalm. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. So the area of Scripture where we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 12 tonight is going to be there where he is approached by Nathan the prophet. And we see in this psalm and Psalm 32 both, we will take a look and see how sin affects the believer. First of all, we see that sin affects the believer spiritually. It affects the believer spiritually. There in verse 1 and 2, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Why do we need to be washed? Why do we need to be cleansed? Because sin will soil our soul. Sin affects the child of God spiritually and makes him feel dirty and unclean. There's a distinct difference between hogs and sheep. Now, we didn't raise any sheep when I was growing up, but we raised plenty of hogs. And I know one thing about hogs, and I've read about sheep. A sheep may fall into a mud puddle, but it's going to get out of there as soon as possible. But a hog's going to fall into the mud, and they love the mud. And they're going to wallow around in it. And you take them out of the mud, they're going to go back to the mud. That's the way hogs, the difference between hogs and sheep. So also there's a difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. A child of God may lapse into sin, but then he loathes it. He can't. The guilt of his sin is ever with him. He just he can't handle having that sin in his life. But a child of the devil leaps into sin and loves it. So sin affects the believer spiritually. Secondly, we see that sin affects the believer mentally. There in verse 3 and 4, we see that David says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions," and notice what he says, "my sin is ever before me." It was driving him nuts. "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." When we know we've sinned against God, it fills our mind and it stings our conscience, doesn't it? A child of God cannot readily sin and forget about it. You can't just sin, do wrong, and you know, not have to worry about it. No, it's going to be on your mind. As a child of God, our minds become saturated by the sin we've committed. And we're not able to put it aside because our mind and conscience have become defiled. When we were unsaved, we could, and we did, many times sin and never give it another thought before you got saved. But you can't do that once you get saved. Once you come to know the Lord, you can't just sin and be done with it. No, it's going to be in the forefront of your mind. David said, "My sin is ever before me." Unresolved sin in a believer's life can cause them to begin to have mental problems. And that's for this reason why I believe that there's so many Christians that have no peace in their life. I believe there's things that are undealt with, unresolved sin issues that they have in their lives. When God saved us, He didn't fix it so that we could never sin, but He did fix it so we could never sin and fully enjoy it. You might enjoy it as you're going through it, but the aftermath is not worth what you went through and your enjoyment. You'll wish many times that you had not done what you did. Now, the children of God who are living with unconfessed sin in their lives are some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth. They really are. We see David's conscience was stricken by his sin. Now, we know that his sin was not just against himself. As we saw last week, it was against himself, his kingdom, his family, Bathsheba, Uriah. All of that was bad enough, but his sin was primarily against God. And I want you to get that. Our sin is always, always, always primarily against God. When we sin against any of God's creation, we sin against Him. David's sin created a barrier between him and God. But there's a difference between a slave and a son, isn't there? You know, a slave fears the master's whip, but a son fears the father's displeasure. I think of a time, not going to get into specifics, but when I was a young man, not even graduated from high school, and there was an instance there where my father was extremely displeased with me. And I would rather him just go ahead and beat the daylights out of me and get it over with, and then understand how deeply I had hurt him with what I did. And that's the way it is with God. We all fear displeasing our Father. David isn't just focusing on the chastisement from God here. He realizes that he has hurt God. And when we sin, we not only break God's law, but we also break God's heart. And that ought to mean something for us. You know, it ought to mean more than, well, I broke the law of God. Well, you broke more than that. You broke God's heart when you sinned. David realized that his sin was in full view of the sight of God. And when we come to terms with the fact that God sees all that we do, it ought to have an effect on us. There's a passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 13 that says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Now, we know that the things that David was involved in were hidden from many people around, but it wasn't hid from God. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had had her husband killed, but his conscience bothered him because he realized that this took place in God's full view. And we only fool ourselves if we think our sins are hidden and unknown to God. So sin affects the believer spiritually. Sin affects the believer mentally, and I'm talking about both the mind and the conscience. And then thirdly, sin affects the believer's heart. Look at verse number 8 and verse number 12. Verse number 8, he says, "Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Look at verse 12. "Restore in me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." After he sinned, David was an unhappy man. He couldn't lose his salvation, but he could and did lose the joy of his salvation. Many Christians today who have no joy in their lives because they have hearts that have been saddened and depressed by the sin that's in their lives. There's a story told of a Christian who was placed in prison, and the king wanted to punish him. So he called for advice, and someone suggested that the king confiscate his goods. But the man had so few material possessions, and all he ever spoke about was his riches in Christ, and they realized that they couldn't get a hold of them. Someone else suggested solitary confinement, but another of there said, "No, he claims he has a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who will go with him even in the dungeons." And another said, "Well, you could behead him." But someone else said, "No, he says for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says he would go straight to heaven." "So how can we make him suffer?" the king asked. Then one proclaimed, "Get him to sin and he will suffer greatly." That's true, isn't it? If the devil can get us to sin, that's when we suffer the most. You see, sin will take the joy out of your life. We see sin affects the believer spiritually, mentally, affects the believer's heart. And we see sin affects the believer physically. Notice verse number 8 again. He says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Look at Psalm 32 now. Psalm 32. In verse number 3 and 4. I believe that he's talking about this time in his life. The reason I believe that is because he's speaking as a man who now has his transgression forgiven, and he has his sin covered. Look at Psalm 32, and let's begin reading verse number 1. He says here, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." Amen. Whose sin is covered. "Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile." And then he talks about this time in his life. He says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah." And then he says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Praise God for that. But sin, we see here, affected David physically. The spiritual and mental anguish of David's sin began to take a physical toll on his body. God's chastening hand was so heavily upon David that he felt crushed. Doctors will tell you that psychological problems, if not properly dealt with, will carry over into the physical realm and begin to cause real physical problems. They call it psychosomatic illness, don't they? And no doubt there are many believers and unbelievers alike who suffer physically because of sin. Now, with reference to the Lord's Supper, and by the way, while I mention the Lord's Supper, I'll let you know we're going to, Sunday evening, we will be partaking of the Lord's table on Easter Sunday evening. And go ahead and get ready for it, amen. Go ahead and get things right between you and the Lord and you and others if you need to do that. But with reference to the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11:30, Paul said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He was referring to those who took of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. That unworthy manner is you've got unconfessed sin in your life. You know, you're not what you ought to be when you come to the table. You haven't dealt with things the way you should have dealt with them. Sin can cause us to suffer physically. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." A broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, that's not to say that all physical suffering is a result of personal sin, because we know that's not true. And well, all we have to do is go to the one that suffered greatly in the Old Testament, Job. Job's suffering had nothing to do with personal sin, did it? Nothing at all to do with personal sin. It had to do with the glory of God. You say, "I don't understand that." Well, you'll understand it when you get home to be with the Lord. And some of the things you may be going through, it may not be because of sin. It may be because of just God wanting to get some glory out of your life. And as I said, you may not understand that, but you're not God. And one of these days we will understand. We'll understand it better by and by. But listen, not all physical suffering is a result of personal sin, but we do need to realize that sin can and does result in physical suffering. So sin affects the believer spiritually, mentally, affects his heart, affects him physically. But I want you to see that sin also affects the believer's spirit. Back in Psalm 51, and look at verse number 10 there. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," and notice this, "and renew a right spirit within me." See, his spirit was all wrong after he had sinned. His spirit was all wrong. When a person is not right with God, he's going to have a wrong spirit about him. When we're not right with the Lord, we can wind up with a harsh, critical, fault-finding spirit. You ever had a sour stomach? I just had one on Monday night. I tell you what, I had one of my bad gastrointestinal attacks, and one of the ways it first manifests itself is through a sour stomach. And when you got a sour stomach, they don't nothing sound good to eat. I guarantee you. There's no dish on the table that looks good enough. And a person who's not right with God and harbors sin in their lives will have that kind of thing in it in their spirit. They will not be able to have a good spirit about anything. They'll be critical. Be one of the most critical individuals around. And I want to use our passage there in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Hold your place there. We'll be back in Psalm 51 in just a moment. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, we see the instance of where we're looking at there in Psalm 51 was written. Here Nathan, the prophet, comes to David. The very last verse of chapter 11 says, the very last phrase of the last verse of chapter 11 says, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." And it goes on in chapter 12, verse 1 says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." Say, the Lord's not going to leave this thing alone. The Lord don't leave you alone with your sin. You sin against Him as a believer, He's not going to leave you alone. It says, and He came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nursed up, and it grew up together with him and with its children, and it did eat of his meat and drank of his own cup, and it lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. He took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. It says, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Because he had no pity. Who had no pity? Oh, David had no pity, did he? See, David was quick to criticize sin in the lives of others. He was quick to judge. See, but the problem was his own heart. Sin sours the spirit. And then we see that sin affects the believer's lips. It affects the believer's lips. So look back at our text, Psalm 51. Look at verse number 12. He says here, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, and thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. You have the idea that maybe the Psalms stopped flowing out of David? You think he lost his song, he lost his Psalms, he lost his ability to praise God? He did. He said here in verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. David lost his song. He lost his testimony. He lost his witness. You know, remember how great of a witness that he's been? How good an example that he has been and what we've studied in 1 and 2 Samuel. And, you know, he refused to go and take care of the situation with Saul himself. He relied upon the Lord to take care of that for him. And boy, he was just, we saw all kinds of great things, but here we see sin clammed him up. It shut him up. The Psalms weren't flowing. The songs weren't flowing. His testimony is top. His witness was gone. Sin will seal the lips of anything that is good. It will dry up your praise. Could that be why so many who claim to know the Lord will not witness or even testify for God? I don't know. I wonder, do you find yourself anywhere in these verses this evening? I know we all do it sometime. Sin affects the life of a believer in all these ways that we've spoken of and even more. Is there any hope? There is if you have a right response. People react to sin in different ways. Some try to run or hide from God. That's the original response, isn't it? That's what Adam and Eve did. That's what Jonah did. But Psalm 139 verse 7 says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You can't run from God. You can try, but God's wherever you run to. And he can keep tabs on you there. Some try to run or hide from God. Number two, some try to cover their sin. Adam and Eve tried with the fig leaves. That didn't do very much good, did it? David tried to cover his sin up. But Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Some try to deny their sin. Remember King Saul before Samuel? He tried to make out like he had not sinned when he had, when the matter of obeying the Lord with regard to the Amalekites. And and he didn't do as he should have. He tried to deny it. Proverbs 29, verse number 11, speaks to this. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. But listen, the only remedy is confession and repentance. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this comes from being broken and contrite over our sins. Notice back in our text, verse 16 to 17. He said there in verse 16, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." See, those sacrifices of burnt offering wouldn't mean anything without his confession. It didn't mean anything. What the Lord was looking for, he was looking at his heart. He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Listen, if you're harboring sin in your life, I can assure you that it's going to affect you if you don't take care of it. The longer you hang on to sin, the more it affects you. Sin will affect you spiritually, mentally. It'll affect your heart, your physical body, your spirit, and your lips. The time to come clean with God is the earliest time possible. Amen. And why not come clean in your life tonight so you can have the joy restored? Perhaps you're here this evening and you're not a Christian. You never placed your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Well, you can trust Him tonight. Come to Him by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We don't normally have invitation on Wednesday night. Normally we just do a Bible study. But I knew we didn't have any letters, any missionary letters to read tonight. So I have planned on having an invitation, give you a chance to respond. I knew the nature of the message. There's something that you need to respond, and that in your own heart and life, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. So let's stand, and if you're able to stand, I'm going to play a hymn of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, you do business with God. Amen. Yeah.